It's called Last Call at the Downbeat, and it is a historical play when Dizzy Gillespie played the Downbeat, which was a very famous club in Philadelphia at 11th and Ludlow, right next to the Earl Theater. And because it was right next to the Earl Theater, it became a very popular place for people, jam sessions and jazz musicians. It was the only integrated club at the time in the 40s in Philadelphia. We still had a lot of segregated theaters, segregated nightclubs in Philadelphia. So the Downbeat stood out as a very special place.
Why Dizzy Gillespie at this point in time in Philadelphia?
It arose from the Philadelphia International Festival of the Arts. The theme that year was a time machine. They were saying, if you could go anywhere you wanted, where would you go? And I thought about that, and I said, well, I'd like to go to the Downbeat Club when Dizzy Gillespie played there for several weeks in November 1942. And this happens to be a time just before Dizzy Gillespie is hired by the Earl Hines Big Band. And that's like 3 months later in 1943. That's the band where Parker and Gillespie really got together. And so this gig is like 3 months before that happens. And Dizzy's only 24 years old.
What did you discover about him at this point in time?
Taking a look at Dizzy at this age, he's just migrated from Charlotte, South Carolina. He's just come up from the South, like a lot of black musicians did in those days. So he's going from a rural environment, a more racist environment, to be frank, into the big city. His family is here in Philadelphia. And you're looking at someone who didn't grow up blessed financially. He didn't grow up with a lot of advantages that most music students would have. And what you can't forget through this whole thing was Dizzy Gillespie was a genius. He was a genius, just like Louis Armstrong was a genius. And it was really, he was a genius seeking out ways to express himself. It was a whole different time. And what Dizzy represents is during the war years, you had African-Americans fighting for the double V. The double V was victory at home against racism and victory overseas against racism, Hitler. So you had this new young African-American coming of age during the war years, brought to American society a whole new way of looking at race. And Dizzy was on the forefront of that. And so was Charlie Parker, bringing this new music was part of this big evolution from what had come before.
How would you describe his relationship to bebop?
Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker, I mean, they were the yin and yang of bebop. And they both, without each other, bebop would have probably been born, but not quite the way it was. They were the first ones to record it, first ones to develop it. Dizzy even had a big band. It was a big band of beboppers, and they played bebop music in a big band genre, which was another very interesting thing that he brought.
When would he have closed the Philadelphia chapter of his life? I know he died in New Jersey, but he went to New York from here.
Well, very quickly after this date in Philadelphia at the Downbeat, Dizzy Gillespie spent most of his time from that time on in New York. So this was his not only the springboard to the Earl Hines Band, but his springboard to really major stardom after this. Dwayne Eubanks really put together a wonderful time, period music for this. The music that Dizzy would have heard, Dizzy would have been inspired by, and also arrangements that Dizzy did for the bands he was in. Of course, we're working with a quartet, not a big band. I wish it was a big band, but hey. Financial restraints.
Do you have a message with this production?
Being the co-founder of Jazzbridge, it's important to me that people understand the musicians along with the music, and that a musician's life, the choice they make to play music, especially jazz, is a courageous one, it's a daring one, and it usually ends them up in poverty. Of course, Dizzy Gillespie didn't end up that way, but Dizzy was the exception. But one thing about Gillespie was, is he recognized that most of the people that he would work with would not enjoy a great retirement. They'd be scraping the barrel every single month to get the money together to live. That's one of the reasons why he made sure that his legacy was getting health care to musicians who couldn't pay for it. And he made a generous donation to Englewood Hospital in New Jersey to help care for musicians. And he recognized very quickly how hard it was. Musicians are always living on the edge because they've chosen an art form which isn't supported in major ways by big, huge donors that you would have for classical music and or you'd have for other genres. It's not something you're going to have an arena tour going around the world like Miley Cyrus. That's not going to happen. So, but it's difficult music. It's American music. And it needs to be heard in all its complexity and beauty. But the people who play it sacrifice a lot. And one thing I wanted to show people in this show was how the choice is made, the falling in love with the music, the crystallizing moment when a musician knows, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And for jazz musicians, it's a tough choice, tough choice.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.